Hello and welcome to the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Anushka Matanda Dawati. Today I'm taking you back to the 24th of May 2010, where a crowd of people are gathered in the corner of London's Trafalgar Square. They are waiting to see a brand new piece of contemporary art.
And I hereby declare Nelson's Ship in a Bottle unveiled.
When that piece was shown, some people were like, oh, great, you know, this is, we're celebrating Britishness, fantastic. And then some other group said, oh, this is a critique of Britain, fantastic. And I love it when a work does that.
That's Yinka Shonibari, a British-Nigerian artist who's become known for his colourful, cheeky and thought-provoking sculptures.
I think I found art, well, I would say probably school. You know, it was my favourite subject at school. I was always drawing during my lessons. And then in Nigeria, when I lived in Lagos as a child, we used to go to art workshops at the museum, at the local museum there in Lagos. And I wanted to study it, to the shock of my parents, of course, because they would have preferred me to study law. We were meant to be kind of professionals because my siblings were, you know, doctors and bankers and dentists. But I, you know, in London, I saw that actually there was a possibility of making this a career. But within Nigerian culture, that's seen as being disobedient. And you had to kind of respect your parents and, you know, respect for elders was very important. And as an artist, you know, if you question tradition, that within my culture would be considered disrespectful. That took some time, you know, for people to really understand what I was trying to do. You know, you can't have innovation without questioning.
Yinka moved from Lagos to London when he was 17 to study at the Wimbledon College of Arts. His vibrant works attracted a lot of attention, but it wasn't until 2009 that he started making his most well-known piece for a very iconic setting.
The fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square is a place where a lot of contemporary art is displayed, and that's being run by the mayor's office in London. And so they tend to select up to, I think, about 100 artists. It's more or less, it's a competition. And then you create a proposal for that space. The most important part of that is the research. So when I was invited to do something in Trafalgar Square, I needed to make myself understand the history of Trafalgar Square.
Trafalgar Square was built in the 19th century to celebrate the 1805 British victory over the French and Spanish. In its centre is a 169-foot-tall column that is home to a naval hero, Lord Admiral Horatio Nelson.
We know that Nelson won the Battle of Trafalgar against Napoleon. And Britain was able to expand in the seas, travel more easily. So in a way, indirectly, Nelson is also partly responsible for the expansion of the British Empire. And London is very multicultural. And so I decided to put his ship, which is HMS Victory, and to put it into a bottle and then change the sails into African textiles.
But this is a lot easier said than done.
Initially, I was emphatically told that it could not be done. The bigger projects I do, we do them by having design meetings and all the different specialists sit around a table and, you know, I present people with the idea and the drawings of what I want it to look like. And then we discuss the possibilities and then figure out how we're going to make it. And then we create a timeline, like a timetable as to what we'd like to achieve when, and everyone does their part. I had the glass made in Italy and then we built it in London. Well, I mean, I think we've worked on that for at least a year. So it's a complicated piece of work.
But it wasn't just making it that was difficult. Trying to inconspicuously manoeuvre a giant glass bottle the size of a small car around London is a lot harder than you think.
And so that had to be done very early in the morning before there was traffic on the road because there was a very long truck. So you're talking about 5 a.m., you know, The truck had to be brought into Trafalgar Square with a police escort as well.
And you were there when they brought it in?
No, I was asleep. It was too early for me. And then there's a ceremony in Trafalgar Square, which, as it happens, actually was opened by Boris Johnson.
After Yinka's work was unveiled by the then mayor of London, everyone had a different idea about what it meant, and everybody wanted to know how he did it.
People love the magical aspect of it. I think most, actually, London cabbies always wanted to know how I got the ship in a bottle. And I always say to them, you know, if I tell you, I'd have to kill you, you know.
But it wasn't just the mechanics that got people talking. Yinka's Dutch wax sails ignited a lot of conversation about African identity. But the meaning behind the material has another hidden layer, one that he discovered whilst at art school.
So in my second year at art school, I was making very political work, and I think I was making work about what was going on in the then Soviet Union. And then one of my teachers at the time said, well, why are you making work about Russia? What's that got to do with you? Why aren't you producing authentic African art? At the time, I thought I was a citizen of the world and I could make work about anything, you know. In my Nigerian household, my father would have Newsweek magazine, Time Out, and I would look at them, and I was already interested in politics. For somebody who's grown up in Lagos, listening to James Brown, Fela Kuti. I mean, yeah, when I was at nursery school, I was singing Black, Black, Black Sheep. London Bridge is Falling Down. You know, what was authentic? So I then decided to go to Brixton Market to find out about my authenticity. And then I went to the fabric shop in Brixton. I started talking to them about the Dutch wax fabrics. And they said, well, the fabrics are Indonesian-inspired fabric produced by the Dutch and then sold in West Africa. I always imagined the fabrics were entirely authentically African. And I thought, actually, the modern African existence is a combination of many different things. And that's my own identity. You know, my identity is made up of being able to borrow from different parts of the world. And that's what the contemporary African is. We might want to have an Indian meal today, have a Chinese meal today, you know, because I'm African doesn't mean I should only eat African food.
Yinka's unique take on authenticity and identity left people wondering why he had chosen to tackle post-colonialist themes in such a playful way.
You know, I'm a product of colonialism. Otherwise, I'd be speaking Yoruba to you now. So it's just factual. You know, that's what happened. We can't do much about it. You know, other than kind of explore the implications of that in the things that we create or produce. And I think, in a way, satire is actually very important in art because it's sort of gallows humor, you know, it's kind of dark stuff. But rather than being upset by all the historical stuff, you can just make fun of it.
Today, Yinka is working on a range of different exhibitions in London and a show in November at the James Cohen Gallery in New York.
You know, we've had forest fires everywhere, we've had various environmental difficulties, and you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but that situation has actually inspired a series of works. I would hope that my art would speak for me. You know, I'm an artist too, you know, who came here, did stuff, and then went.
That was Yinka Shonibari talking to me, Anushka Mutanda Dawati, for this edition of the Witness History Podcast.
From the brilliant and bizarre.
It was really surreal. It was a surreal kind of atmosphere there. You couldn't really see anybody.
To the shocking and unexpected.
I'm just wondering, what are we going to do now? This was really my worst fear. He found 100% horse meat that was labelled as beef.
Witness the stories that have shaped our world, told by the people who were there.
When he went to the factory, the poodle went in front of him. So the workers all knew, oh, the boss is here.
Many people had many things to lose by our victory. The future was not so bright.
Witness history.
We had a designer. He brought in a fully storyboarded idea about how the Queen would arrive by jumping out of a helicopter. And we all said, that's brilliant, but it's never going to happen.
Witness history at bbcworldservice.com/witnesshistory or wherever you get your podcasts.